There's a story about a young man who left for his freshman year to Duke University. And as he traveled off, was about to head off, his parents made sure that they gave him a Bible. And they said, "Son, we want to make sure that you're reading God's Word." And so he took it. He headed off to Duke University. And with all the newness there, excitement, learning from his teachers and whatnot, and as a typical freshman, he called his parents and wrote them, actually. He wrote his parents and said, "Mom, Dad, I need some money." And, of course, as freshmen do. And so they write him and they say, "Son, we need you to be reading your Bible." And so, okay. So he sends back a letter and says, "Mom, Dad, I still need some money." And they sent him another letter, and they told him some chapters and verses which they thought would be important for him to read in the Bible. And later on that semester, he came home on semester break. And as he came home on semester break, he came home, and Mom and Dad came up to him and said, "Son, we know that you have not been reading your Bible." And he wondered why and how. And he said to him, "Son, we put $10 and $20 bills in many of the places in your Bible." And so this young man learned a lesson by not listening to his parents' instructions. He became lacking in several needs. He was broke financially and spiritually by not listening to his parents' instructions. And today we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. I'd ask that you pull your Bible out and open that up there, please. And if you don't have your Bible, the church Bible, it's on page 1855, 1855 in the church Bible. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. I would ask that you please follow along as I read. This is the word of the Lord. "You, however, know all about my teaching," Paul writes, "my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word in our lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that will direct us today. And we pray, O Lord, as we look into your word, as we hear your message for us, that we would each be transformed further into your image. And, O Lord, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I would like us to look at one of the greatest teachers that there ever was, perhaps apart from Christ Jesus himself. I would like us to look at the Apostle Paul as he instructs his student Timothy. And Paul wrote this letter to Timothy while he was imprisoned in Rome by Nero. And he desired to be with Timothy so much, but he knew that this did not seem very likely this side of heaven. I believe that Paul wanted to continue to teach Timothy, though, in these letters and remind him of the things that he had taught specifically regarding how to live a godly life. The first point I want to that I believe Paul instructs Timothy in is to listen to your teachers. Listen to your teachers. And if you're following along in your in the bulletin insert, that's your first fill in the blank there. Listen to your teachers. I remember when I was in kindergarten, when I got in trouble for not listening to my teacher, one of many times in my life, I'm afraid. my teacher, she told me, my friend and me, not to play on top of these large wooden blocks. But, you know, we were playing superheroes, okay? And we thought that we were invincible. And so as soon as the teacher left the room, we built our super blocks and stacked them very high. And we got on top of them and fell and got in a lot of trouble. We got hurt and we got in trouble. But not only did I get in trouble with the teacher at school, I got in trouble with my parents back home as well. My father reminds me of this story and laughs about it now. But my parents expected me to listen to my teacher and follow her instructions. And the Apostle Paul was emphasizing the importance of not only listening to his instruction, but to learn from his teaching as well. To learn from his teaching. When Paul was younger, he was under the tutelage of a rabbi by the name of Gamaliel. It was Gamaliel who, according to Acts chapter 22, thoroughly trained the Apostle Paul in the law. But learning the law and the facts about the law was not all that mattered. It wasn't until later in Paul's life that he was blinded by God and then given vision to truly see what the scriptures meant. And that the things that he found out were that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets, whom he had studied so diligently. That Jesus was the only one who could keep the law, who offered eternal life for those who would place their faith and trust in him. Paul was taught the law by Gamaliel, but learned what it meant from Jesus. And now Paul was teaching Timothy, not only telling him to listen and to learn, but also to watch Paul's way of life, to watch his way of life. We, like Timothy, need to watch the way of our teacher's lives. And Paul was saying to Timothy, look at my life. Take a hard look and see that my words match my actions. My words correspond with my way of life, Paul said. Paul was not a perfect man by any means, but he wanted others to listen, to learn, and to watch his way of life and to imitate it. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. How many of us are able to say that? That's a hard thing. As humans, though, we tend to follow the example of others, and Paul wanted to make sure that he was a godly example to Timothy. Now, many years ago, we were in our home in Kansas having a Bible study, and all of the children were upstairs in the bedroom having fun while we were downstairs having our Bible study, and all of a sudden, the babysitter comes downstairs and approaches the parents and says, so-and-so said a very bad word. And we were all kind of like, you know, shocked and embarrassed because none of us were raised that way to share that kind of language in the home. And so we did a little bit of investigation and found out that child's kindergarten teacher at the public school used a bad word. And so that kindergartner came home repeating it. And that's what we do. That's what we are like. We are like kindergartners who we mimic those around us. We all listen to our teachers and we learn from what they say. We watch their way of life and we often imitate them. And Paul wants Timothy and he wants us to not just listen and to follow any teachers, but ones who exemplify a godly life. Paul said to Timothy, look at my faith. Look at my patience. Look at my love. Paul was not bragging about how great he was. He was saying, look at what God has done in and through me. He was saying, look at the fruit of the Spirit in my life. That is one of the ways that we can know that we can trust a teacher. Another thing that Paul shared with Timothy was to know his purpose, to know Paul's purpose. We need to know the purpose for which our teachers teach. And if you were here earlier during Sunday School Rally Day, we heard of the many exciting reasons for why our teachers teach here at Crossroads. But what was the purpose with which Paul was teaching and training Timothy? One of those purposes was that Paul was called by God to use the gifts that he was given to teach and to train and to equip those in faith of Jesus Christ. His purpose was to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help them on the road of growth. This is the same thing that we're doing here at Crossroads. So one of Paul's purposes was to teach Timothy how to live a godly life. Yet Paul did not want Timothy to think that being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, was going to be an easy thing. In fact, he says in verse 12 that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So not only was it not going to be easy, Paul was saying that it would be full of difficulties stemming from persecution. Not the kind of thing that those who profess to be Christians want to hear. We don't want to hear that there's going to be persecutions and difficulties and sufferings in our life. But Paul makes it clear that if you are a follower of Christ, then you will want to live, and that you want to live a godly life, that you must expect persecution. Expect persecution. Pastor Tim recently mentioned about how there are many secular universities now that are denying access to Christian groups, even to just merely help the freshmen move their belongings into campus. I was amazed to hear that story. And I also just learned recently at Lehigh University, where Brenda and Warren Smith's daughter Amy attends, that the university will no longer allow them to use a particular room on campus for their Bible study meetings anymore. Persecution abounds, doesn't it? It's also reported recently that a father tried to mail a Bible study, a book of God's promises, and also religious comic books to his son, PFC Daniel Moody, stationed in Iraq. The post office in Lenore, North Carolina, refused to send them. The officials cited a postal regulation prohibiting the mailing of any matter containing religious materials contrary to the Islamic faith. Well, these sorts of things are very frustrating, especially if you have a child who's in the military, and they're frustrating for us in the United States, these difficulties that are going on. Yet this type of persecution that I just shared really pales to what is going on and what is going on in other parts of the world. Christians are being imprisoned. Christians are being beaten, and Christians are being killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. We have missionaries who we commit to help, and some of them won't tell us where exactly they are, and they won't because of this difficulty, because they fear for their very life. This is the kind of persecution that the Apostle Paul was writing Timothy about, a persecution that can threaten your very life. The Apostle Paul reminds Timothy of the different sufferings and persecutions that Paul had endured in Antioch and in Iconium and in Lystra. Yet he wants Timothy to know that even though that these sufferings and persecutions are very real in his life and very difficult, he says that the Lord rescued Paul from each one of these. And here he is writing to Timothy from jail in itself, and he's being persecuted still. Paul was trying to warn and encourage Timothy all at once. He is saying that in order to live a godly life, you must listen to your teachers. You must learn from them. You must watch their way of life and know their purpose from them, and you must expect persecution. In verse 13, he continues to warn Timothy, saying, "Watch out for deceivers, Timothy. Watch out for deceivers." Timothy was taught from the day he was born from his grandmother and his mother stories in the Bible. And I'm sure that Timothy knew about Satan, the father of lies, who disguised himself as a serpent while deceiving Adam and Eve in the garden. Satan would like to deceive as many people as he can, and he will use as many evil men and imposters as he can as well. He used Judas Iscariot to infiltrate the 12 disciples to his own demise, and Satan even tried to deceive Jesus while tempting him in the desert, but Jesus resisted time and time again with Scripture, and he was able to overcome the deceiver. And this is what Paul wants Timothy to do as well, to watch out for deceivers and to know how to overcome them. Know that evil men and imposters will try and worm their way into our lives as well. In the fall of 1951, a lady glancing through her morning newspaper inadvertently unmasked one of the most unusual deceptions in Canadian naval history. She was the mother of a doctor, Joseph Sire, who was practicing medicine in Grand Falls, New Brunswick, and to her astonishment, she was reading an account of an emergency operation that was performed on the deck of a Canadian destroyer off the coast of Korea by her son. Now, her son was supposed to be a doctor elsewhere, and so she calls her son up, Dr. Sire, and he reassures her to his mother that he was indeed still in civilian practice. And so she immediately picked up the phone and called the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and a bizarre story unfolded. It began early in 1951 when an American named Fernando Waldo Fred de Mera entered Canada and became a novitiate monk in Grand Falls. For more than a decade, de Mera held positions in a number of religious orders and as a psychologist, a university lecturer, a college department head, a school teacher, and a prison warden. Despite this impressive employment record, de Mera, later to become known or famous for as the Great Imposter, had obtained these posts on the basis of forged, stolen, or non-existent qualifications, including posing as Dr. Sire and joining the Royal Canadian Navy. An amazing story of how this one particular man was an imposter and deceiving hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Can you imagine being the one whom you were under the knife of this imposter? Paul warns Timothy and is warning us as well that there are deceivers, there are evil men, there are imposters who will try and work their way into our lives, into our homes. And that is why cults draw in so many people. They pretend to be loving and caring. Many will say that they represent the true church of Jesus Christ. But be careful who you listen to. Not all of your teachers on Christian radio are of Christ. Not all preachers on television are proclaiming Christ. We are to watch out for deceivers and compare what they have to say with what is being taught in the Word of God. Look to the Word of God. We here at Crossroads Community Church are blessed to have godly teachers who live out what they teach, like the Apostle Paul. We should follow their examples. They are ones who study the Scriptures and do their lesson plans so that we can be growing in godliness. The Sunday school teachers at Crossroads have been gifted by God and called to serve in the particular age groups, from preschool through adults. And we can give thanks to God that we do not have to worry about deceivers and imposters here because they are trusting in the Word of God. This is what Paul was reiterating to Timothy. If you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, then you must trust in the Word as your teachers do. Paul tells Timothy in verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it." Timothy was able to put his trust in the Word because since infancy, he knew the Holy Scriptures because his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice spent time with him reading and explaining the stories of the Bible to him. Timothy would have been taught the words of the law and the prophets, which he was now able to see were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Paul affirmed to Timothy that the Word of God that he knew as an infant was the same word that had power to make him wise for salvation. The Word of God was able to make him wise for salvation. The Gospel of John chapter 1 tells us who that Word is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In this passage, the Word was a title or a name for Jesus. And so in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. And in verse 14, we followed up saying the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one, the Word, that came to save us. And in verse 12, it says what we are to do in response to the Word. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Today is the day, if you have not yet trusted in him, it's to look to the Word, look to Jesus Christ. He has come to offer to you eternal life. When I was in fifth grade, I've shared this with many of you, but my pastor came to my Sunday school class and he shared from the Word of God the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He told me what the Scriptures affirmed, that Jesus came from the earth. He lived a perfect life by being completely obedient to the law and died on the cross for my sin. He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, and offered me the gift of eternal life through faith in him. My pastor then invited me to pray with him, and that is when I received the gift of eternal life, starting on the road of godliness. And I would just encourage those of you who are here who have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ, to look to him in the Word of God. Read the Gospel of John and see that Jesus is the one and only way to salvation. the way the Word of God that saved Paul and Timothy and saved me is the Word of salvation for you as well. Paul continued to encourage Timothy, though, regarding the Word of God, saying that the Word of God is trustworthy. The Word is trustworthy. Paul states here one of the most important words that can help us to confirm that the Word of God is trustworthy. He tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed. This means that from Genesis to Revelation, we have the very words of God for us. The Bible was not written by mere men, as many people have thought. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." God gave men the words to say, but allowing their personal writing styles so that we have this Word of God for us. Is the Word of God trustworthy? Absolutely. The other night, my wife, Cindy, Barb, Whitmer, and others, several others in the church, went to Delaware County Christian School to listen to a man by the name of Josh McDowell. And he shared with us a little bit of his story, of his testimony. And he shared how when he was back in college at the university, some of his Christian friends challenged him to look at the claims of Jesus Christ, examine the Christian faith. And so he said, "Sure, I'll take a look at your faith. I'll take a look at your Christianity." And in his smugness, he thought that he was going to prove them wrong. Yet he took the challenge, and he thought that the religion, it was going to be a religion built on nice stories and that weren't going to be able to stand up to the test of truth. But as he dug deeper and deeper into the claims of Christianity, he was shocked and he found facts, not fiction. He found so much evidence that he came to the conclusion that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, and he trusted in Christ from that day on. And that night when we were there at Delaware County Christian School, he shared with us many details of how the Scriptures are in fact trustworthy because of the much historical evidence that backs that claim. And you can read much about this in his book called More Evidence, That Demands a Verdict. And that verdict for Paul was that God's Word is for salvation. God's Word is trustworthy. And God's Word is for godliness. God's Word is for godliness, for you and for me. Paul tells Timothy that one of the uses of the Word of God is for godliness or training in righteousness. Certainly, Timothy would have remembered his mother and his grandmother telling him of the Psalms of David, who said, "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When we listen to the Word of God, when we learn from the Word of God, and when we apply the Word of God to our lives in obedience, then we begin to grow in godliness. And Paul reminds Timothy that even though he has heard and was taught the Scriptures since he was a baby, he continues to need to do so. Paul said, "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Paul is teaching Timothy that God's Word is for growth. God's Word is for growth. In 1 Peter, we're given an illustrative picture of what this means. It says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Babies crave milk, which helps them to grow. And we are to continue to be like those newborn babes, hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. Paul concludes this section of his letter to Timothy by further explaining how each one of us can take some specific practical steps in allowing the Word of God to penetrate us and to help us on a road in godliness. Again, he says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul was telling Timothy, what a great tool the Scriptures will be for you, Timothy, as you minister to people. But let us take a look at these verses from the perspective of one being ministered to. So in order to grow in godliness, we need to be taught. We need to be taught. So be taught. In applying this passage to our lives, we should look for opportunities to be taught the Word of God. We have a plan and a purpose for everyone here at Crossroads Community Church to help them on the road of growth. We have Sunday school teachers and growth group leaders and elders and others ready to help you on the road of growth. we have prayerfully come up with resources that we believe will help benefit everyone in the church. And we want to teach you from the pulpit and during the Sunday school hour and in your homes during the week in growth groups. We've also had opportunities to learn and grow in godliness on Sunday evenings. And so starting Sunday night, September 24th, we are going to be having a parenting seminar based on biblical principles that will help us to teach and to be more godly and be an effective parent. We need everyone to come out to that. That's going to be an opportunity for us to be growing in the Lord as parents and invite your neighbors and your friends and your relatives to be a part of that. At the same time, we're going to be having opportunities for your children and your teenagers as well to be growing. The children will be downstairs growing in the Pioneers Clubs. We have godly teachers down there as well helping them grow. And upstairs in Crossfire, we have godly men and women involved in that ministry. And we want your whole entire family to be a part of an evening, Sunday evenings, growing in godliness. It's an opportunity to grow in Christ as families here at Crossroads. This is for everyone, so please invite your friends and your neighbors. Another step to help us grow in godliness is not only to look for opportunities to be taught, but to be willing to be corrected, to be corrected. Just as the Word of God is useful for teaching, it is also useful for correcting and rebuking. These are perhaps two of the most difficult things that teachers and pastors need to do here in the church. Yet as parents, we know the importance it is to correct and rebuke a child, don't we, as they're heading off into the street. You're not going to say, good luck, son. Good luck, daughter. We're going to scream at them, get out of the street. That's unsafe. Come back to where you need to be on the right path. And that's what we need to be doing here at the church. We need to, as people of God, as ones who are growing in the Lord, be willing to be corrected. But also be praying about your pastors and teachers who are going to be needing to do that. Your pastors, your elders and deacons and other leaders who need to be doing this for the edification of the church. It's a difficult area, but we pray that you would help us to do this. The last two things that Paul shares with Timothy regarding the Word of God for growth are to be trained and be equipped. And we put those together. Those are necessary. And have you been trained in how to pray? Have you been trained in how to effectively share your faith? Have you been trained in how to disciple others? If not, we would love to train you. We'd love to equip you. If you are trained and you are equipped in the areas, then we need your help. We need your help to equip and train others. There are always new and younger believers who need to be helped in being trained. You know, this past summer, we had a privilege, Mark Grasso and myself and others, of training and equipping many teenagers in Evangelism Explosion. It was really exciting, and we're going to have a celebration of many of them completing that. And it was hard, diligent work, but we are excited about the fact that we have many teenagers in this church who are now equipped to share their faith in Christ. You know, there's so many things. We're like so overwhelmed. Pastor Dave, you're telling me I need to be doing this and that and this. We want everybody on the road of growth. We're not saying to do it all at once. This is a process, a lifelong process. And so we want to help you, not hinder you, not take up all of your time in the world. But one of the areas in which we feel is very beneficial in helping you and training you and equipping you is on Wednesday nights during our team ministry. And we also believe, as Paul did, that the Word of God is useful in equipping people for good works. In other words, we want to help you discover and use the spiritual gifts and passions that God has given you within the body of Christ here at Crossroads. You know, we're kicking off the fall today by offering you many opportunities to grow, including having our own pastoral assistant, William Jarwood, be teaching a class on spiritual gifts and how to implement them in the life of the church. So there's an opportunity for you. If you do not know your spiritual gifts yet, if you don't know where you fit yet in the body here at Crossroads, we want you to be a part of that class. There are many other electives as well, but this one will help every member in the church to discover the unique spiritual gifts that help and to be fruitful and fulfilled in a meaningful place of service. If you do not yet know your gifts, or how you can serve the Lord, then this is an important class that you can be a part of this fall. Each one of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ are on the road of growth. Some of us are just starting off, and other of us have been on for a very long time, but there is room for all of us to grow, even though we are at different levels spiritually. Remember in this passage, or actually the passage before this one, it talks about Lois being a grandmother, helping her grandson, Timothy, grow. And then it spoke of Eunice, Timothy's mother, helping her son grow. And it speaks of the Apostle Paul spiritually adopting Timothy as a son in order to help him grow. And later on, Timothy helped many others grow, and so it keeps going. So whether you're a grandmother, a parent, maybe you don't have kids, you can adopt people and helping them grow. Or maybe you yourself need help. Each one of us needs to be growing in the Lord. Let us never grow tired of growing in godliness and helping others along the road of growth. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful that we can come before you, that we can look to you in your holy word, that it instructs us how to live a godly life, how we can look to you for salvation alone. Lord, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for the leadership of Pastor Tim and his example to us, and for all the teachers that have given up their time, who have seen that you have given them gifts and passions. And Lord, we thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, that as we look to you, that we would look for opportunities to grow, that you'd help us to look for these opportunities, that we would never grow weary of that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.